Before we begin with today's show, we here at Eat Sleep Suplex Retweet are incredibly proud of the bravery that's been shown by everyone speaking out over the past couple of days. We commend you, we respect you, and we all stand in solidarity with you. It is so important to speak out, and myself and the team are here to help and support anyone affected in any way we can. We hope that you can enjoy today's show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Eat Sleep Suplex Retweet.
Ladies and gentlemen, what a special day it is. I myself am sitting here with a suit, my yellow tie, I've got my hair bleached grey. I am ready for transfer deadline day here at Saturday Draft Live. You're listening to us in Suplex Retweet Extra. Find us in Spotify, iTunes, Anchor. If you've got a podcasting app anywhere, we're probably on it. So check us out, definitely. Our socials, you know, Suplex Retweet, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, got a YouTube page, we've got our website, we're literally everywhere, so there's no reason for you not to check us out. Now, to come over to my panel for today, as always, the man that's been here from day one, Saturday Draft Live's best chance of winning this bloody season, it's Scott McLeod. How are we doing?
I'm doing very well, Jack. You know, I've been here, started here from day one, and I'm still going, still planning on winning.
You'll get it. You need to do it for the boys, you know what I mean? But a special introduction for this man here today is he has taken the title off one half of the Ryan Prick squad. He is our new ESSR champion. It's David Hockney. David, congratulations, mate.
Thank you very much. And I don't want to share my seventh championship reign with just myself. This is a victory for Saturday Draft Live. My lucky seventh reign, I'm bringing it home.
We're so proud of you. But I think we're actually, wait a minute, I've got a developing story in here. What are we saying? Wait, Ryan Gallagher lost one of the best of five sweeps. That's right. Of course he did, and he's here right now. How are you doing, Prick?
I'm all right, mate. I said, but I've got a wee thing to pick up on. I would absolutely hate if all I had to celebrate was other people's victories. How depressing must be for your life that all you can do is celebrate Dave winning the sweep? Not even yourself, not even Ross from your own show. You need to go with somebody else's because you're that bitter, that vindictive against the current reigning, defending, undisputed Eat Sleep Suplex Retweet tag team champions of the world, Ryan Squared. Anyway, back to the wrestling. I just think that's really sad for you, mate.
One for all and all for one. That's, you know what I mean? I'm out here on two shows. I can celebrate as many victories as I want to. I can do what I want. I am that man. Don't you fucking forget it, son. Dave, well done.
Thank you.
Now, we'll squash the rivalry. We'll leave the rivalry as it is, you know. This is something far, far, far more important right now. There's been a lot going on with our fantasy league. As we said last week, no points were accumulated because it is transfer week. So I'll break down the table as it stands after Backlash, because we see some people did very well. Yourself, Ryan, 55 points. I'm sure you absolutely love that number.
That's what I was going for, mate. I was going for that.
Dave, you're sitting 1971, but you're maybe starting to slowly come back a bit. Alan in 102, sitting 8th. I'm 106.5 points, sitting 7th. Daniel's at 6th, 112. Scott, breaking away a wee bit, 126 points, sitting in 5th place. Gary in 134.5 points, sitting 4th. Grant, 3rd place, 164. Ross, 168 second. And number one, Mr. It's My Podcast, Stephen Wilson, 173.5 points. How do you just feel seeing that before doing the transfers of where you kind of, where you knew you'd be drafting from, Ryan? Obviously, you were always going to be first drafting for your transfers. Did it make much difference to you?
I think, my team, as I said on the kickoff show, when we started this season, my team was great on paper. And then COVID hit. I reckon my team would have been superb if it wasn't for this pandemic, because I had great people in there. You know, I had Swerve Scott was doing good stuff. Darby Allin was quite high up. You got Indus Share. Brandy Rhodes was my pick for more appearances rather than anything else. Bianca as well. She had just debuted on Raw, and I thought she's going to get a great push. And then also my man Dexter Lumis, he's not involved in this conversation because he's doing good stuff for me now. But the rest of them, I expected great things from, and then COVID hit, and they've done absolutely nothing for me.
Well, obviously, as you said, you felt you had that kind of brilliant team on paper. I think a lot of folk felt that you had the kind of underdog team, a team that could either hit the heights that you say it was or was going to fall flat. And unfortunately, you know, the COVID's happening, you're kind of falling flat. But maybe someone that we didn't think would fall as flat as what they have so far is Dave. It's just sitting ninth and 71 points. So he's got quite a good track record of doing well in the draft, obviously. Mm-hmm. You're going to be second every day for making your transfers, Dave. That have any effect on your game plan of what you're going to do?
Not necessarily. I knew I was going to be one of the first to transfer. And honestly, my team needed a bit of a shake-up right from the word go. Because, you know, like Ryan said, I think my team's been cursed right from the start. You know, this could be due to a number of reasons, but obviously COVID being one of them. And I just think some of the guys, you know, I really had high hopes for in the chance, you know, they might get me points. But I don't know. It's just some instances they've just let me down. Like, obviously, in some cases through no fault of their own, but you know, I was expecting a lot more from my team as well, so I'm kind of glad that I got in the transfer window early and made the necessary changes.
Now, Scott, obviously, you're sitting in the middle of the pack, so you got to see the kind of transfers that myself, Dave and Ryan are making in the kind of lower half of the table. You're sitting just kind of up the top half. Just did that have any effect on how you were going to do your transfer business this week?
A wee bit, because like I'm in the middle of it, so I had an eye on a few people. One or two of them did get taken before I got a chance to get them, but I'll come on to them later on. But the first day of the transfer, I was the first person to exchange a team, and luckily, because nobody else had done a tie team yet, I was able to get the tie team that I had my eyes on for the last few weeks, and that kind of ruffled a few feathers, I've soon found out. But it was good for me on that particular day because I was able to get the team I wanted, and then when it came to actual singles picks, it forced me maybe think outside the box a little bit.
Obviously we were maybe a bit more advantageous positions for transferring other than like so Ross and Steven, but then again, did they really want to make many transfers from the top of the table? But we'll go to our man sitting in 10th place, Ryan. Break down your transfers that you've made this week. Let the people know.
Aye. So my number one pick was quite a simple one. I traded out Isaiah Swerve Scott because I thought he was going to be the cruiserweight champ. I thought they were going to put a belt on him. Turns out he had a horrendous tournament and then done absolutely nothing since then. And I have swapped him for the recently debuted SmackDown superstar Matt Riddle. Expecting Big Kingston Matt Riddle. He kicked off. We are currently on Saturday, so SmackDown was last night. Matt Riddle, spoiler alert, he pinned the current Intercontinental Champion AJ Styles, so I can see a big push for him there. Second pick, Darby Allin. I was a bit swithering between this one. Actually, this is my third pick that I've done, but I'm just working through my list just now. Darby Allin, I've got rid of him, which I'm not too sure if that was a good idea or not, because he's one of these guys I reckon could get a push whenever. You know, it could be next week. For all we know, we could see Darby Allin getting a big push. But I took the hit, and I've got rid of him. And I've brought in the big ginger, Sheamus, obviously involved in that feud with Jeff Hardy just now. I can actually see him losing to Jeff Hardy and next time they face each other, and that might be his kind of next match that he has. But overall, for the next few months, I can see Sheamus pulling in big points. And lastly, Brandi Rhodes, she was my pick to get appearance points, and she has got appearance points, but I think I'm at that point now where I need to get somebody who's going to be actively wrestling more often, or at least involved more. So I've got rid of Brandi Rhodes and I've brought in Penelope Ford, expecting her. She's obviously wrestling and valeting for Kip just now, so I'm hoping that appearance points and matches she'll start raking in some for me over the next while as well.
Aye, obviously, you're being first, you know, looking at all the attention was you, the spotlight was on you, and you probably had quite a few folk to kind of toss and turn with. When Dave, when you saw that Riddle was going to be the first person to be transferred to Ryan's team, mm-hmm. how did you think that was a very good kind of pick from him? That could see him getting a good guaranteed amount of points each week.
I think it was a pretty obvious choice right from the get-go, because we had discussed, you know, who's going to be, you know, on the rise for the upcoming shows. And Matt Riddle was one of those names floating about. So it doesn't really surprise me that he was one of the first to be transferred in. But one, I would like to sort of dig in a little to your transfers, Ryan, because Brandi Rhodes is actually your joint top scorer alongside Dexter Lumis.
Yeah.
So do you think trading her out, is that something you considered when trading her out?
Do you know, I swithered whether or not to do it. I wanted to bring Penelope Ford in, and I was torn between, you know, I've got obviously Brandy and Bianca, and I thought, who do I swap for Penelope? Because I can just see her bringing more points. I know Brandy's scoring quite high for me just now. I need to replace my. I'm actually going to replace both women in my team, and I have a spoiler for you, which I'll bring up a little bit later on towards the end of the show for this evening's draft. So I had to get rid of them anyway. They were both going for me. So as much as Brandy is my kind of higher scorer, I reckon over the next few months, Penelope's points will overtake that, if that makes sense. So that's kind of what I'm banking on. You know, I'm sitting at 55 points after however many weeks. I'm not scoring very high anyway. So as much as Brandy's one of my higher scorers, she's still not pulled in that many points for me. So I'm hoping that Penelope, with the appearance points and also being involved in matches as well and hopefully picking up wins, she'll be able to get kind of more points for me than my Brandy would.
Scott, obviously, I think, correct me if I'm wrong in saying this, but I do think that Darby Allin's injured right now, so it's probably a good bet for Ryan transferring out, but obviously one that was quite a notable miss at the start of when we started this season was Sheamus not being drafted, because he was just coming back and he was kind of getting pushed and squashing jobbers and that. How valuable a pick is Ryan getting Sheamus, and also for him to get him on Friday? That's quite a bit into the transfer week as well.
Yeah, because when he came back, he was squashing folk. He was always, he's been often appearing on SmackDown, like, regardless of what you think of this Jeff Hardy storyline he's involved in, he's always appearing. He got the win at Backlash, which I'm sure Ryan was happy with that result. And
delighted.
Going forward, he's continuing this feud with Jeff. Again, he may lose to Jeff, but like going forward, he might still get a few boss matches after that, you know, to try and rebuild him after a loss if he loses this feud, because it would feel weird to not have Jeff win this feud. But I think maybe because the people felt like maybe Jeff isn't going to win this feud, maybe they weren't really willing to take the gamble on him.
It's a good pick. Even if he, like as you said, if he does lose to Hardy, still someone will probably, you could see him being even like in some sort of rivalry with Riddle in a way. But there's Ryan, I want to kind of throw to you a bit. Your captain right now is Bel Air on 8 points. Obviously, she appeared for a week or two and has not been seen since. Do you right now want to give an exclusive to everyone and change your captain?
Do you know, I'll take the opportunity to give you a double exclusive then. I'm going to change my captain, and I'm going to make my captain Dexter Lumis. And do you want my second exclusive?
Let's
hear it. It's currently 10 to 12, so we've got another 6 hours before we can start the draft, but I'll give you the exclusive just now. Leaving my team is my former captain, Bianca Belair, and joining my team is Sonya Deville.
Ooh, interesting.
About time that she got drafted, I think. It's quite fitting that you've got Sonya and I've got Mandy, you know. Raw report going up against anyway, back to the wrestling. Then in the draft, we're going up against each other and this rivalry will be happening. But it's a bit of a double slap in the face to Bianca being your captain, then getting drafted out. But obviously, it's one that needed to happen.
And do you know, what's what's going to happen is next week on Raw, Bianca's going to come back. It's written in the stars. It's written in the stars that that's going to happen to me. One thing I actually wanted to point out, so that's out of the six people that I've got, I've traded Scott for Riddle, Darby for Sheamus, Bianca for Sonya, Brandy for Penelope, and I've kept Dexter and Indus Share. But see, up until last week, Indus Share were my first pick to go. I was going to get rid of Indus Share and I was going to bring in FTR for my number one pick. And I decided not to, and I held off because I seen them making more appearances as of like the week before the draft started. So the timing for that has been impeccable because this could have been so different.
Yeah, because everyone was like, what happened at NXT this week? You had Breeze Angle going up against Imperium for the tag titles, and you had Indus Share and Oney Larkin and Butch come in and it caused interference. So it's definitely story there. And a very good chance that Indus Share could become your champions when like they're allowed to kind of bring in folk again. They can get Imperium back over to NXT UK. But obviously, Ryan, thanks for talking us through your transfers. I'll go on to our new champ here at East Sleep Suplex Retweet, Dave Hockney. What transfers have you made this week?
Well, I think there was one straight off the bat, and I think there was no surprise to anyone. I got rid of Sami Zayn. Now, ever since the pandemic hit, he has stayed at home, like you're supposed to, and he's been shielding and not working any shows. As a result, he got stripped of the Intercontinental title and has got me absolutely 0 points this season. So that was a bit disappointing, but I got a major upgrade in the form of the new Intercontinental Champion and my new captain as well, AJ Styles. So, and my second pick, I was sad to sort of let this one go because my former captain, the Velveteen Dream, has actually been a bit of a letdown. You know, I was expecting him to become NXT champion and he basically didn't get it on two separate occasions. So I know there was some potential new angle teased on NXT, but I think by that point the damage had been done. So it's Dream Over in this case, and instead I'm bringing in Bobby Lashley. And those are the only two transfers I've made. So, and I think it's a much needed refresher because Bobby Lashley has also been heavily featured on Raw. He's just come off the back of a WWE title match against Drew McIntyre, albeit in a losing effort, but luckily I didn't suffer as a result from it. I still see MVP and Bobby still being heavily featured on Raw, and he can still have a dominant run. So here's hoping Lashley goes back to basics. He starts a clean slate with MVP, and he racks up wins and appearance points on a weekly basis. So that's why I've gone for him. And AJ Styles is a bit of a no-brainer, if I'm being honest, because, you know, we thought he'd be off TV for a while after the Boneyard match at WrestleMania, but he's just won he's been transferred to SmackDown. He's got a new angle for him, and he's just gained the Intercontinental title. So, and with him as my captain as well, even though he suffered a loss in this week's SmackDown, I can see him going on a tear as of late and possibly winning a few championship matches down the line, and I can see him being Intercontinental champion for a long time. So here's hoping that champion's advantage gets me more and more points, and with the captain's advantage on him now, I'm expecting big things from AJ.
Now, Scott, he's got rid of one Intercontinental champion and brought in the new Intercontinental champion. Obviously, Styles was going to be one of the main coups he could get this transfer window, and he's found himself in Dave's team, but even as his captain and he's a new champion, everyone thought, Intercontinental title, you know, the workhorse title and whatnot. Do you see him wrestling much in between pay-per-views where he could be potentially defending his title, or do you think it would just be a kind of lot of promo-y segments and just kind of like a scuffle off a promo, so to speak?
I think he will have a couple of successful defences before the end of the season. I don't think I see him as a fighting champ. I think the whole build and the IC title tournament, the difference between him and Brian was that AJ just wanted the cheat way out and didn't always want to defend the title, whereas Brian would always be a fighting champion if he won. And I see why Dave took AJ, because when we started this season, AJ was off TV, so nobody really took him because they didn't know when he was going to be back. One thing I want to ask Dave, are you going to keep the name the Quarantine Dream? Because It kind of seems pointless of a name without the Velveteen Dream in the team.
Well, I'm glad you asked that, Scott, because I was just getting to that. Because as of right now, my team name is also getting revamped. My team is now simply the Phenomenal Ones.
I thought you were going to say simply the best turners ready to hang up phone.
Yeah, so my new team name is, much like Ross's gallant few last season, I have took a page out of that book and went with my new captain, and I've gone with Phenomenal Ones.
So, Ryan, Arius Styles, you know, that could have been someone you could have taken first off the bat, but obviously you elected to go Riddle instead. You got anything to ask Dave about AJ?
I've got a question. Dave, are you at all concerned the fact that AJ Styles, the week before he won the title, lost to Drew Gulak, he then won the title against Bryan, and then the week after, lost to Matt Riddle? That's two guys that your Intercontinental Champion shouldn't really be losing to on regular SmackDown shows. Although Riddle was the push-all, obviously, for this week, and it kind of made sense a little bit. Mm-hmm. Still, I would have seen that match last night going a different way. I would have seen Styles maybe getting disqualified last night, you know, and kind of pulling a heel move rather than getting actually beaten cleanly by Riddle.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from. But I think a lot of these undercard guys, like, you know, the SmackDown, you know, it continues with that moniker of being the land of opportunity. And sometimes a big win over a prominent star can elevate somebody like a huge amount. I mean, take Kevin Owens, for example. His first match on pay-per-view was against John Cena, and he won clean as a whistle. But then John Cena wins the next two times that they fought. So I'm wondering if AJ is going to follow a similar pattern there. You know, the face character gets a big win over the more prominent heel, and then AJ bounces back, but the face character still looks strong. That was my logic going into it, because Drew Gulak, you know, he needed a bit of a push up the card, and it gives Riddle a good showing on his debut on SmackDown. So I did take that into consideration, but I think in the long run, it's going to benefit Styles more.
That's a fair enough answer, I guess. But obviously, I do, even if I was in your position, I would have taken AJ, but I'd still, I'm a bit sceptical, obviously, about the amount of matches he may actually wrestle on SmackDown. I kind of maybe see it as just, he'll be on a lot and big up the title, but maybe just kind of more pay-per-view matches than actual SmackDown matches itself. But your other transfer dream, you say, is a bit of a kind of no-brainer. Obviously, he's not going to be able to go for the NXT title again so long as Adam Cole has it. But as you said, there's that wee tease with a potential either rivalry or partnership with Loomis. Do you feel that you would gain as much points with Lashley as you would with Dream in that instance of this happening?
Probably, yes. But I think Lashley, I think he's going to be appearing more often, and I just lost confidence. I think the short answer is I lost confidence in the Dream. That's kind of what happened. And so I went for something a bit more safer. But you see what, if this turns around and Dream and Loomis go for the tag titles and they end up winning, I might end up kicking myself. But, you know, that's the risk with these transfers.
It's still a very, very, two very good transfers you've made. But I believe you're going to kind of tell us Lucas's transfers that we've got on this week.
Yeah, that's right. Alan made two transfers this week. Firstly, he's trading out Becky Lynch, probably a wise decision given that she's off with pregnancy now. And he's brought in Lana to replace her.
That's
what
bold.
What do you guys think of that?
It's bold one. Like, although Lana's going to be on, it's a bit like the pick when I picked Brandi Rhodes. You know, it could go really well. You could get a lot of appearance points from Lana. But the fact that she's now getting divorced, I don't see her being as prominent. I don't see her being like a Zelina Vega, for example, and showing up like 10 times a show. You know, I can't see her. I think she's going to maybe get you one appearance per show, which when you're trading out somebody like Becky Lynch, who was your champ, obviously she didn't do very well for him because she was pregnant this season, but somebody like her who's going to be wrestling regularly, winning matches, putting points on the board, to then swap her for somebody like Lana, who's maybe going to get you a couple of appearance points a show. I think that's quite bold that he never went for an actual wrestler to fill that wrestler gap.
Mm. I think bold's a kind of a nice way of putting it. I wouldn't have said bold. I don't think it's the best of, considering the position he was in and the amount of folk that he could have transferred. As you said, Ryan, you'll be first, and when we continue the transfers tonight, and you're going to get Sonya Deville. Why did he not go for her? That's someone that'll get you more guaranteed points than what Lana will. Fair enough. When Scott came on the Raw report this week and was talking about, we were talking about this kind of potential tease about Natalya Lana partnership of just kind of being both angry with like other things, and that's how they're going to come together and potentially combat. But surely Sonya Deville would have been the much better option for Alan to take first.
I'm really surprised that nobody did take Sonya Deville, and I'll be honest with you, I forgot about her until watching last night on SmackDown, and I seen her, I thought, I wonder who's got her, and I double checked with Stephen Wilson that nobody had picked her. Turns out nobody had, and he was fuming because he was picking her today. So I've swooped right in and took her right off him.
Right, so Dave, yes. Alan's next transfer.
Well, he's actually swapped out his other female pick as well. He swapped out Liv Morgan for the former AEW Women's World Champion, Nyla Rose.
Is it going to be better than Liv? I don't know. So I can still see Liv appearing, but Scott, can you see this as being quite bold in itself, or do you think it's quite an understandable transfer to make?
No, I think it's understandable because I think it's clear the last few weeks, you'll know yourself, Jack, covering Raw every week, that whatever ideas they had for Liv Morgan, they clearly either forgot about or gave up on, because there's clearly no direction for her. She just shows up doing something seemingly different every week. She gets a win a couple of weeks, then she's no on, and then she comes back, gets a loss. So I think with Nyla being a fixture of AEW as a former champion, and probably going to get another shot sooner or later, that's a smarter pick. Lana, on the other hand, like, part of the reason I didn't exchange my female picks is because I looked at like the landscape of like the top women's picks across WWE and AEW, and I felt like the top point scorers in my opinion had already really been snapped up. But I think there are still people better than Lana that Alan could have got, because like the only real way, like, because obviously these all incur like a point penalty, and the only way for Alan to really make up the points is if Lana somehow decides to get back in the ring, which I'll be honest with you, I'd rather not see that.
something that I don't want to see. Well, say Alan will be praying that we get more Lana on our TV, but now it comes to myself. Liquidation, relegation, still the same fantasy team. My transfers I've made, and you could arguably, I mean, I'm saying this from a biased point, but I've maybe went boldest with folk that I've transferred out. And Dave, I'll go to you with my first transfer, being the kind of the big Wednesday Night Wars fan that you are. Mm-hmm. I've got rid of the exalted one, Brody Lee, and brought in the new Cruiserweight champion, Santos Escobar. How did you feel when you saw that I was doing that?
See, to be honest, I think you were in a pretty difficult position for transferring, because your team is actually fairly well balanced. So I think it would be a big loss to, you know, get rid of any of your guys, in particular when you got rid of Brody Lee, who is actually your third best scorer up to that point. So, but that's not taking anything away from the fact that your lowest scorer only has 12 points, and that's Mandy Rose. So I think getting rid of anybody on your team, you know, it was going to be a noticeable change. But I think when you swap out for the new Cruiserweight champion, Santos Escobar, I think that's actually going to be really beneficial, because, you know, he's now got a commanding presence on NXT alongside Joaquin Wilde and Raul Mendoza. So I can see him and his feud with Drake Maverick is going to be a very high-profile feud on NXT. So you're probably going to get appearance points at least. Match points, I think we've still yet to see, you know, Phantasma wrestle under, you know, the Escobar character. But, you know, I think this actually has, I think the pros and the cons outweigh each other on this one.
Yeah, my thinking was, obviously, Brody Lee lost his world title match against John Moxley, and he just didn't appear for like a few weeks. Mm-hmm. And now it's just been kind of brief appearances and trying to recruit Colt Cabana. I don't feel it's a very good storyline for him to kind of be able to appear a lot, whereas Santos Escobar, I feel as if there's more scope, even if he's not wrestling on NXT, there's more chance with how they've been like kidnapping folk or whatever. There's more scope of seeing him more and potentially even wrestle just kind of like jobbers, so to speak. So I feel fairly confident with that transfer. But my next one, I think, is a pretty much a given. Scott, Kevin Owens elected to be removed from the Raw tapings that had gone on after the kind of the positive case of COVID-19. So I've taken him out and I've brought in the greatest wrestler of all time, Randy Orton, after winning the greatest match ever. How do you feel about, obviously, Orton? You could argue as well he might not wrestle as much on Raw, but he's kind of put himself into the most prominent storyline and the kind of arguably the most interesting figure on Raw right now. So a lot of TV time could be put on him. Do you feel this is a wise move on my part?
Yeah, definitely, because like Kevin Owens has always been a real like sore spot in your team with the fact that he got injured after Mania, then he appears and then he doesn't do really anything. And Orton, much like AJ, wasn't really around after Mania, so wasn't picked initially. But now in the transfer window, is a no-brainer to have on your team, as we've been talking about on the Raw report, that he's doing some of his best work. So I think he's definitely a shout to have on your team.
I feel happy that he's going to be quite the prominent figure, and I feel he'll get me a good few amount of points. But I think my last one is probably the most interesting, considering that Miz and Morrison have the most points as a tag team out of everyone. I think I have elected to trade them out. I'll come to you and Ryan on this one, because obviously the SmackDown tag team, and I've brought in the Iconics. How do you feel? Do you think that's bold? Do you think it's stupid? Do you think it's quite a smart move to make?
No, that's a great move to make. Who was it you said you had? Sorry, my line dropped down there.
Miz and Morrison.
Right, so Miz and Morrison are not going to be winning the titles anytime soon. They're not in the picture just now, whereas the Iconics may win the titles very, very soon. You know, they've got that thing over the current champs where they dethroned them the first time. They were never beaten, so I think it would make sense for them to get the belts put back on them very, very soon. So no, I think that's a great pick.
And on the kind of the vouch that Ryan Gallagher has given, my new captains are going to be the Iconics.
Oh, now that's interesting.
I'll say it was on Shayna Baszler, but she's not been about for a month, so I've given hope, and I feel I've kind of lost hope. And if she ever comes back, I'm sure she'll win the title, but I need points. I need it now. You know, I'm not in a position where I can't really lose anything. I don't feel I'm going to win, so I may as well kind of go all out and bold. Iconics are appearing multiple times on Raw and sometimes even SmackDown, and they're appearing in like multiple segments, and the matches are in, they're winning. Mm-hmm. And I feel they're going to win the women's tag titles very soon, be it next week, be it Extreme Rules or whatever. And I was going to make it Karrion Kross, but I can't see him winning either the North American or the NXT title to the very end of the season. And I need points now. And I feel that even if the Iconics do win, they'll still be shown and they might defend and find some cheap way of retaining the titles and so on. So that's my thinking behind it. Jeez, Scott, do you think I maybe should have went with Kross as my captain, or do you think it's quite a safe bet on my Iconics or risky?
Yeah, bold letting go of the Iconics. I think, who did you have your team before? You had Shayna as your captain, which I can see why you would do that. And I think it's a bold move. It could definitely pay off if they win over Bayley and Sasha. I'm surprised, obviously, you talk about losing faith in Shayna. I'm surprised you still, although, elected to keep her on your team.
Well, you see, I felt like I was tossing around throwing, because I needed Folk away first before I could do it. And then I was going to take Sonya, but I felt like I defeated the purpose when I had Mandy in my team. And I feel that Mandy's going to get quite a few points coming into the end of the season. So I'm quite happy with, I mean, I'm not happy with keeping Shayna, but I feel that I'm more than content keeping Shayna.
Would you not still consider getting rid of Shayna, like, tonight?
For who? That's my only thinking. I don't really know who else I could take. It's certainly a tough one.
I think you'd be wiser keeping Shayna, because, you know, if somebody else picks her up, like, if she starts appearing on Raw this week, you know, and you've just been mugged off. So I'd say hold on to Shayna personally.
Yeah, I'm keeping hold of her, but the captaincy's gone. Captaincy's away. Mm. But well, I'll head I'll head back to you, Dave, and you can take us through the transfers that Daniel's made.
Yep, so Daniel has also made two transfers. He's very wisely swapped out an injured Elias, who's now been on the shelf, who's going to be on the shelf for expected 8 months with a pectoral injury. So that's him arguably ruled out for the rest of the season. So he's wisely got rid of Elias, and he's brought in Drake Maverick, the latest signee to NXT and a big challenger for the Cruiserweight title. So I think that's a pretty safe swap, to say the least. Obviously, Elias being Daniel's second lowest scorer as well, despite a few appearances here and there. But Drake Maverick's been very heavily featured in the Cruiserweight title scene in NXT, so I think that'll help Daniel out in the long run. But it's another swap to an NXT talent, and that makes Daniel's team pretty much NXT heavy again. But he's now switched it up a bit, and he's now brought in some folk from AEW. Because his second transfer, he's actually swapped out from Undisputed Era, Team Fishing Rod, Bobby Fish and Roderick Strong. And he's brought in a very, very risky tag team, dare I say, in the form of QT Marshall and Dustin Rhodes, a.k.a. the Natural Nightmares.
Yeah, this is something I want to kind of pick on. Not pick on, I don't want to pick on for it, it's pick up on. I feel that this is probably this and the Lana transfer are probably the two most questionable, I think. I get that obviously maybe Fish and Strong aren't getting as much points anymore, and he probably felt there wasn't many tag teams to go for left. But it's very risky for a team that's maybe not going to be appearing or even winning as much. Ryan, what do you think about this QT and Dustin selection?
Joe, you know, I actually forgot he picked them until you just mentioned it just now. But I was actually going to make a point on QT and Dustin. I watched AEW this week. I watched it last night, actually, before I watched SmackDown. And I was very impressed with both of them as a team. I thought they were phenomenal, to be honest with you. The only problem, I think, and it's just exactly what you said, I don't see them getting you a lot of points just now. You know, they're part of this whole Nightmare family kind of thing that's going on just now. They're appearing quite often with Brandy as well. There's a wee thing happening just now. Is it Ali who's coming out? And there seems to be a wee kind of feud going on with her and Brandy just now, kind of giving their support to QT, I think it is. So they might be getting featured a bit more, and you might see some points coming from them if they start getting a kind of positive vibe from this storyline. But it's a risky one. You know, they could potentially get you 0 points for the next however many weeks if they keep jobbing to folk.
Yeah, and obviously, Scott, his first transfer, I mean, Elias was a no-brainer getting rid. But Drake Maverick, that's a bold one in itself. Obviously, he's newly signed. He's got a lot of momentum behind him. Someone that could have got a lot of points if he was picked during the Cruiserweight Championship bracket thing, but obviously he was meant to be released. And then they signed him on before they taped the final. How do you feel that's working out for him?
He was never getting released. Don't fall for it.
I think at the time we were all kind of suspicious of the fact that he got released, but was still allowed to compete in the tournament. So like there was always we could believe that he was going to work his way back into the company. And I don't think anybody though was willing enough to take the risk, because like we recorded the draft special like a few days after the big releases were announced. But I think after what happened with his story and the fact that he seems to be going in a feud with Escobar, then yeah, I think this is a smart pick. The thing with QT and Dustin is, yeah, while Strong and Fish aren't they like the official real tag team of the Undisputed Era, they are appearing a lot alongside Cole, who he also has in his team. And well, I think when they all appear together, that's an extra points for him. Whereas QT and Dustin, I don't really know where they go for here. I don't know if they'll get him a lot of points because they've already had their tag title opportunity. They lost, so I think they'll be kind of going back down the card of it.
We're all pretty much in agreement that it could be a bit of a risk, but maybe one that was need to be made for QT and Dustin. But Scott, it's your turn. Break down your transfers of the week.
All right, I only made two transfers this week. First off, no-brainer, being that the Usos are one of the only picks that are still on 0 points, I got them to fuck. And I was between a couple of teams. I originally thought maybe Imperium would be a good shout, but decided to go for an AEW tag team. I went for Chucky T and Trent, the best friends. And I later found out that Grant McRobbie had his eyes on them. So, you know, the fact that I annoyed him and got their best friends is just a little bonus.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like, I looked down my singles pick, other than Charlotte Flair is obviously doing tremendously well. And I wouldn't give her off, I'd be an idiot. And I looked at my two low-scoring picks. They're both at 8 points each. One of them was Lance Archer, but he, given what he's been doing recently, I think he's going to go start going on a tear, just demolishing folk, you know, raging after he's lost to Cody. So, and there's a few points to still to come there. So, I had a look at my other low-scoring pick, and I felt like, as much as I'll enjoy him, the fact that he didn't win the his block of the Cruiserweight title tournament, which it felt like he was going to, I had to say goodbye to Kushida. He's off in his DeLorean, fucked off Back to the Future or wherever. And I brought in somebody who I hope, appearance-wise alone, will do a lot for my team. I have brought in a man who seems to be building some new faction on Raw, the representative of the Almighty. I have brought in MVP.
One tick, you hear the clock ticking, obviously. MVP, that, what a pick that is. Ryan, I can see MVP kind of being the new Zelina in a way, but also wrestling. That he's going to appear in a lot of segments trying to recruit folk, help folk in their matches, but also be in matches himself. Considering he's got this mini feud with R-Truth going on now as well, do you see MVP being like a brilliant pick, considering he was picked on Wednesday?
It's a great pick, to be fair, and I'm not going to lie, I'm actually raging that I never thought about it earlier, because the points he's going to pull in over the next couple of months is going to be mental. One thing I wanted to pick up on MVP, did we see anything with that team that he tried to align himself with? Is it Brandon Vick or Brendan Vick or whatever you call him, and somebody else? Whatever happened to them? Because
they are wrestling on main event.
Thorn, yeah.
They're wrestling on main event, but MVP's not with them. They're just wrestling on main event now. They've got no kind of connection to the story anymore.
So they've been binned then. But I was just going to say that because I knew they were on main event. I don't watch main event often, but I knew they were kind of featured on this, and I wasn't sure if that would be a kind of another avenue for MVP to branch into, or will he be on Raw? He'd be on main event as well with a kind of secondary team. But no, I can see him. He'll recruit some folk in the next few weeks as well, and have like a kind of. He might not even have like one big stable. I was actually thinking what MVP might do is have like a couple of different, you know, couple of different pies that are all separate. So he'll have one with Bobby Lashley where he comes out. He'll have one with. It was like, remember when Paul Heyman was the manager of Punk and Lesnar at around about the same time, and he would come out with both, but they weren't together in any way. I can see that from MVP does, and just kind of manage a few different folk.
Especially, he's kind of been as teasing that he's going to get either Shelton Benjamin or Apollo Crews on the side, maybe both. If there's a rumored heel turn happening for Apollo Crews, and Shelton Benjamin's one that can be like a reliable worker that can be used in any way. So it's a very good show, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
So we were doing the Raw report the same day I made the pick of MVP, and we talked about it, Jack, about the possibility of this new faction. MVP could be forming, so I kind of convinced myself that it was a good pick while we were talking about it. Thing with the best friends is, like, I've seen like Steven even saying like, well, surely these guys can't be the team that beats Kenny and Hangman. But like, when you look at how best friends have been, but even since the start of AEW, I think we've actually built up the rankings and been like popular with the fans since day one. I don't see how they couldn't beat Hangman and Kenny for the tag titles.
I also, Dave, you might know a bit more about what I do than the best friends. Do you see best friends doing well for Scott as our kind of realistic, our only chance of doing well on the Saturday Draft Live hosting team for winning this season? Do you think best friends can take Scott on that route?
I think it's going to be a hit and miss when it comes to best friends, because obviously they're challenging for the tag titles at Fyter Fest, but you've still got a few other tag teams floating around out there. You think, maybe they could dethrone them, or maybe they could dethrone them. But I think it's that level of intrigue that I'm most curious about, because it doesn't seem like a certainty that best friends could win, but I wouldn't be surprised if they did. And Scott getting rid of the Usos, I think, you know, you said you were going to do that for a long time, and how does it feel knowing that you've actually finally done it and brought in a tag team that's actually going to get pay-per-view title opportunities?
Well, I was going to say, as long as they at least get one win, they'll probably get more points than the Usos ever got me.
Now, next person at the table is Gary. I'll read through his team quickly. You know, we've got Sasha Banks, Seth Rollins, Daniel Bryan, Candice LeRae, Jeff Hardy, and New Day. A very strong team, and Gary fully believes in his team as he has not made any transfers.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, are you quite of the opinion that Gary shouldn't have made any transfers? I think his team is going to do fairly well coming into the kind of closing stretch of the season.
You know, if I was Gary, I'd keep my team as it is, because it is actually a very, very well-rounded team. He's got two people that are his top scorers, joint top scorers, Sasha Banks and Seth Rollins, both on 32 points. And he actually has the highest scoring worst performer of everybody. You know, his lowest scorer has 15 points, and you'll never guess who it is. It's Daniel Bryan. Like, Daniel Bryan is his lowest scoring team member, and that's saying something.
I was Ryan Gary, someone that we spoke about, didn't get many points to begin with, because we thought it was quite a safe team to go with, and it was kind of a slow start, but he's kind of catapulted himself right into this kind of top half of the table and can potentially break into the top three at some point. Are you thinking it was wise for Gary not to make any transfers?
No. I think anybody who's watching wrestling just now, looking at Gary's team, you're saying that he's kind of lowest scorers, Daniel Bryan. I'd be looking at somebody who's potentially going to score a lot higher than him to push me up at a table, because if he's only scoring, somebody like Daniel Bryan is only scoring, was it 15 points you said there, Dave?
Yeah.
If he's only scoring you 15 points after this length of time, then I'd be looking at somebody who's more regular. I'd be looking at somebody who's on telly every week. And although Daniel Bryan's a big name, I'd be getting shot at him and getting myself up that table further, because it's all right saying, oh, I've got a steady team just now. You know, but Gary's team is good. He has a good team. You know, he's got a steady team. All it probably takes is one pick, one swap of your kind of lower guy, and bringing in somebody who's going to score higher for you, and you're going to just go boom, 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 and push up that table. So I think it's a quite a bold move for Gary not to make any picks.
Well, one thing I would like to mention, and we haven't really touched upon this, is that every transfer you make, you actually incur a 5-point penalty. So Ryan, with four transfers, you've actually foregone 20 points as a result of these transfers. Where I wonder if Gary not making any trades, he actually doesn't incur any penalty points. Do you think that could play a factor in why he never traded up his team?
Who's around Gary just now? Have you got the table handy?
Yeah, yeah.
Who's around him above and below?
With that, he's currently in fourth place at the minute. Scott's below him on 126, and Grant is 164. So it's quite a gap between the two people he's between.
And how many's Gary on?
134 and a half.
134?
Yeah.
So even one trade then from Gary, he's far away enough from third place that 5 points would make a difference, but also 5-point deduction as well still keeps him in fourth place. So I would have personally taken that risk. And I know we're talking about me taking a 20-point hit. Do you know, I had to take the hit because my team was doing absolutely nothing anyway. So the only way I can go is up. So it doesn't make a difference if I take that. Whereas if Gary takes Daniel Bryan at his team, brings in somebody who's going to score him, you know, let's say, for example, Daniel Bryan's on 15 points. Say he brings in somebody who at the end of this is going to bring him 40 points. You know, that 5-point hit is still going to put him into a positive kind of going forward from that point, and he's still going to keep his position on the table.
Yeah, I can kind of see the logic behind that. To be fair, obviously, he was probably thinking in the sense, if I'm not taking any transfers, I'm not losing any points, and I can get a bit closer to Grant, because obviously Grant's made a transfer himself, so we'll talk about that in a wee bit. But another person that's not made any changes to his team is Stephen Wilson. And I've actually got a message from Stephen Wilson talking about the transfers in this week. He asked me this morning whether Heavy Machinery appeared on SmackDown. I replied back saying, yeah, there were Lumberjacks essentially during the Styles Celebration, which led straight onto the Riddle match, and that was it. And he was swaying about keeping them or not. And for an exclusive, he's told me that if he's going to draft him away for a new tag team, he's not going to draft him to tomorrow, because is he F letting anyone take Otis as a single competitor? So obviously, yeah, that's quite the tactical move to make. Obviously, Otis would have been on a lot of people's minds if Stephen did trade away Heavy Machinery. Dave, would you have looked Otis as someone to take if the option was there?
Absolutely. I mean, if Otis is being this heavily featured as a singles competitor and he's currently Mr. Money in the Bank, he's definitely a hot commodity as a singles star. But with Stephen keeping him as part of Heavy Machinery as a tag team, very tactical play to prevent anybody capitalising on Otis's potential singles points.
Aye, same. Obviously, Ryan, if that option presented itself, you could have had first dibs at Otis. Would he have been one of your first folk to take if that happened?
Nope.
No?
I would not have touched him. If we had done this draft a week prior to the week we done, then maybe. But with Tucker now coming back, and that's been two... Okay. That's been two SmackDowns now that he's been on, kind of featured as a team. I don't see Otis being that much of a singles guy going forward. Yes, he's got Money in the Bank, but let's be honest, nobody expects him to win the title. But if he does, nobody expects him to keep it for very long. I can see Otis still being featured more as a tag team guy.
I can with Heavy Machinery, even if like Tucker's there as a manager in some way, and he's obviously, Otis has always talked about if he got Money in the Bank, like before like an interview, he wants to cash in on the tag team titles. Whether they actually allow him to do that, I don't know, but I can fully understand why Stephen would want to keep Heavy Machine as his tag team, just to kind of piss off everyone else. But our final two is Grant and Ross. They're second and third respectively, with Stephen being up at the top, but Stephen won't be at the top for much longer after Raw happens and you've got your kind of usual folk appearing. Grant made his tag team transfer, taking out Bliss and Cross for FTR. I can understand the thinking behind it, but for me, Bliss and Cross are still appearing quite a bit and they're still wrestling, even losing the tag titles. I feel it could maybe be a bit of a risk. Dave, what do you think about that?
I think it was quite a bold decision to get rid of Bliss and Cross, because they are still getting featured heavily as part of the women's tag division. So I don't entirely agree with that trade in particular. I'm surprised he hasn't got rid of Rhea Ripley or Dakota Kai, because, and obviously the only appearance we've seen after TakeOver in Your House was Io Shirai confronting Sasha and Bayley. So I'm not really sure what's next for Rhea Ripley at this stage. I'm surprised he hasn't traded her. But then at the same time, that comes back to the argument someone could easily just capitalize and swoop up any points on the second half of the season. I don't agree with that decision to swap out Bliss and Cross. I think, yeah, definitely a hasty move.
And obviously, I kind of go to you, Ryan, for Ross's pick. He's got rid of Timothy Thatcher after his winning that kind of cage fight match against Matt Riddle. He hasn't appeared, obviously. He was in a wee promo package this week, but he's went with trading him out and bringing in the current Universal Champion, Braun Strowman. How wise a pick do you think that is for Ross, considering that Ross is second in the table and was second last to draft another transfer? Do you think it was stupid for any of us not to take him?
I think if Ross had waited, and I keep talking about this draft moving to different weeks, you know, if it happened last week it might have been different. I reckon if this draft happens next week, Ross doesn't make that trade, because we now see The Fiend is going to be coming back very soon to challenge Braun. That title's gone from Braun. He's losing that the first chance that The Fiend gets. And also Thatcher, he hadn't been seen up until this week. He now looks like he's going to get a push. He's getting video packages showing him kind of training the kind of up-and-comers and stuff like that, and teaching him holds but taking it too far. I can see him getting a good push as one of these kind of dominating mid-card guys very soon. So this week, yes, it makes sense. If he'd done it next week, that trade would not happen, guaranteed.
It's also on the SmackDown package, obviously, Bray Wyatt has got a home in Allen's team, and it seems that Bray Wyatt is kind of going back to the reverted back to his Eater of Worms stage to kind of play mind games with Braun Strowman. So I could see a potential Extreme Rules match with that Eater of Worlds Bray Wyatt going against Braun and Braun getting the win. But come SummerSlam, the Fiend's just going to like ruin him pretty much.
Yeah.
And he will get a title at some point. So I can see maybe Ross is thinking that having a champion and appearing, especially getting that pay-per-view in, that might take him over the edge of Grant and Steven, but he will lose it at SummerSlam and he will lose a couple of points at that time, which could prove vital at the end.
I think it might not be so bad. I mean, you know, that'll be just one big loss at SummerSlam potentially, but he's still got all this time to rack up appearance points and potential match points. And like you said, Extreme Rules as well. That's another pay-per-view title defense, which he could probably win. So I think, again, the pros outweigh the cons here. He's actually might profit from this move. And Ross is actually arguably one of the best performers this season so far, because he currently has the highest median score of 28 points. And he's only just below Steven on for mean scores. So Steven currently has a mean score of 29, whereas Ross is on 28 for that as well. So Ross has actually been the most consistent performer, both in terms of his scoring and, you know, where he's placed on the table. I think the switch to Braun is actually going to probably push him into first place.
Dave, I don't know. I actually don't know what you just said there. What are you talking about?
Sorry, I had my analytical brain switched on.
That meant absolutely nothing to me. I was going, what does he mean? Does it just mean average?
Yeah, it means average. Median is your middle score.
Right, go ahead and just say average.
Okay. Ross's average score is 28, and Stephen currently has the highest average score of 29.
Some man. See, that makes more sense to me. I can understand that.
I wouldn't rule out Grant, though, just yet, because his average score is 27 as well, but his middle score is actually a lot lower. So I think at the moment it's going to be between Ross and Stephen fighting for the winning place.
I feel like I've stressed out Dave now because he's having to focus on being average.
I think on that note, it's potentially a good time to end it. And obviously, we've got transfers going tonight and tomorrow as well. So we'll cover them next week when we're back. And we'll have our usual top three of the week because we'll be able to get score points again. All I've got to say is, Ryan, you're a prick. But thank you very much for coming on the show and kind of talking us through your transfers, considering the position you are in the table and you do have literally nothing to lose. So why not go all out?
Exactly.
Dave, obviously, thanks for coming on. Same for Scott as well. You know, it's usual every week. I appreciate it a lot.
Yep, and I will continue to carry the Saturday Draft Live name as ESSR champion.
Right. We're off. See you next week. Ta-ra.